Good morning, everyone. My name is Jacob Carolls, and I'm a Care Bear. That's right, my primary profession, or one that I really do hope to get in, now that I'm playing Eve seriously, is that I'm a producer. I'll be producing all the items I use. I'll also be producing stuff for sale, which will be one of my primary sources of income, and also I'll be helping out my own alliance in that aspect. Okay, so, Research and Production 101. One of the things about Eve Online is that the vast majority of the items that you use in-game, everything from the smallest piece of ammunition right up to the largest battleships and titans, are all built by players. In reality, the amount of stuff that is actually seeded in-game by the developers is fairly small, and is pretty much limited to trade items, blueprints, and a few other sundry items. Everything else, and I do mean everything else, has been built by players at one point or the other. So, as you can expect, it's a very large industry. It's also, at times, fairly profitable. It is also extremely complex, and that's what I'm here to go ahead and give you guys a hand with. I'm here to go ahead and take you through some of the basics of research and production. So we're going to start out today with the core aspect of what research and production is about, and that's manufacturing items. Manufacturing items basically means creating stuff. You go ahead building ammunition, building modules, building ships. It's all part and parcel of what manufacturing is. So how do you go about it? Well, it's actually a fairly simple and easy process, but there are certain skills that you have to train your character to go and be able to do it. Most of them are within the industry subgroup. For starters, one of the things you need is the industry skill. Now, industry skill is the base of all manufacturing. Is the base skill you need to do any form of manufacturing. And just to do base manufacturing, such as your own ammunition, you just need industry level 1, which is, industry 1 is a rank 1 skill, so this will take you, 10-15 minutes to train. It's absolutely nothing. And the skill book's fairly cheap. But if you decide to go ahead and actually take up manufacturing as a profession, it is highly recommended you go ahead and actually increase this skill up to level 5. The industry skill itself actually reduces manufacturing time by 4% per level. So if you go ahead and actually increase manufacturing up to level 5, not only will you be able to access manufacture T2 items at that point, you'll also reduce your manufacturing time by 20%. And for larger jobs, that's actually quite an amount of time. Now, whilst the industry skill is actually one of the most important skills because it's what makes all manufacturing jobs go, there are a number of other skills that are required to go ahead and actually make the job a heck of a lot easier for you. The more important ones of these is the production efficiency skill. Now, production efficiency is extremely important because it actually reduces the amount of materials you use. Production efficiency reduces manufacturing material usage by 4% per level. Now, something such as ammunition, which only uses a few hundred item units of materials every time you do a run, it's not really that much. But when you're getting up to things like battleships and battlecruisers and that sort of thing, you're talking about using tens of millions of units of minerals for each item. So a 20% reduction in overall material usage is actually quite a significant amount. If I can remember correctly, you're talking about a difference between, about 10 million units of tritanium for a rock with production efficiency 0, and somewhere around 7,900,000 units of tritanium for a rock at production efficiency 5. So as you can see, it's a massive amount of materials, and as a result, a massive amount of risk you don't have to spend to buy those materials, or mine in my particular case. Okay, those are the ones that go ahead and actually make the job easier, but there are also a few others. The next two which you have to consider are the mass production and advanced mass production skills. Now, these ones don't help make the job easier, but it makes your life a bit easier, because what it does is it actually sets up additional job slots that you can use. Initially, you've got a limited number of job slots that your character can handle, and by training the advanced mass production skills, you can go ahead and increase this, I believe, up to a maximum of 12 slots, I think. That's 12 jobs running simultaneously, something along those lines. It could be 15, I'm not too certain, really. I've only once actually gone ahead and completely topped out my own manufacturing slots. The final skill you should really consider, if you're really getting into advanced production, is the supply chain management skill. Now, this one, again, makes your life a heck of a lot easier. Usually when you install a job with manufacturing, you actually have to be in the station itself to activate the job. With supply chain management, this allows you to actually activate jobs in a particular station whilst you're away from the station. As you train it up, you go ahead and increase the distance you can be away from it, and right up until when you're at level 5, you can activate a job pretty much anywhere within the region you're in. Okay, so those are the skills you require. So what do you need in terms of physical items to go ahead and do a manufacturing job, or in this particular case, what do you need in terms of electronic items? Well, to go ahead and produce a manufacturing job, there are two real things you need. You need a blueprint, and you need some raw materials. So what's a blueprint? Well, Callan, if you could please link a Hammerhead 1 blueprint. If you could all please check that link. This is effectively a blueprint. A blueprint's an item that you can get through various means, which when used together with your raw materials, will actually produce your items. Okay, let's go through some of the base stuff they've got here. If you could all please click on the attributes tab of the blueprint that Callan just linked, we'll go through each of those bits one by one. Okay, right up top, you'll see it says produce hammerhead 1. And this bit up here actually tells you what it is the item produces, and how many items it produces per run. Now, this basically means that you run this blueprint once, it will produce a single Hammerhead 1 medium combat drone, medium scout drone, excuse me. This, usually, with most blueprints, you only produce one item per run. With cat recharges, however, cat recharge charges, it actually produces 10 per run, and with ammunition, it produces 100 items per run. This is actually important to remember because you actually cannot melt down or reprocess those same items outside that group number. So you can't reprocess 82 of a pieces of ammunition. You can't reprocess 9 cat boost charges. You have to reprocess that round amount they produce in a single run. The system's just simply not set up to otherwise. Okay, in general information, you've got the material level, waste factor, productivity level, and max runs per blueprint copy. This is actually what you've actually got here with this link is actually a simplified version of the Hammerhead 1 blueprint you can use to check out various things. This is actually a full Hammerhead 1 blueprint copy, and you can see there's a bit of a difference between the two. Anyway, with the general information, material level refers to what level the blueprint has been researched to in terms of material efficiency. And as you increase material efficiency, you'll actually reduce the amount of waste materials that you have to use up whilst you're doing the manufacturing job. We'll get onto that a bit later in the research section. The next one, productivity level, is the same, similar sort of thing, except instead of waste materials, it defines how much time is wasted during the manufacturing job. Now, as I said before with mass production, for low-level items like ammunition, material level and productivity level don't really matter that much. They use such a low amount of materials, and they are so quick to work, it isn't really that much of a difference. But when you get things like battleships, it is a real big difference. The final item you got there, maximum runs for the blueprint copy. When you produce a copy of this blueprint, that is the maximum number of runs that the blueprint can do before it disappears. We'll get into that when we get down to blueprint copies. One other thing to note, in general information, is that when you're producing items, you can only really produce meta 0 items. So that is Hammerhead 1, Invulnerability Field 1, 75mm Gatling Railgun 1. You can't produce any named items through these. The only place you can get named items is through loot drops. Okay, let's switch over to the Bill of Materials tab on the blueprint. Right, we're there. Now, the Bill of Materials is probably one of the most important sections of the blueprint because it tells you what you need to actually produce the item. Now, the first one here is skills. And that basically, as you can see here, you require the industrial skill at level 1 to go ahead and actually run this blueprint. And that's all you need, really. You don't really need any of the other skills. You can go ahead and run this. You can run this at industry level 1. The other skills just make your life a heck of a lot easier. With the materials item, it tells you what minerals you need to go ahead and actually produce the item. tab. And you'll notice now that they're actually, you'll notice that in some cases, they're actually two separate numbers, a U number and a perfect number. The U number is the amount of materials that you require to produce this item at this point. The number of materials is the amount of materials you require to, you would require if your production efficiency was at level 5. So this will, so of course, everyone will see it, will probably see a different number depending on what your material, what your production efficiency skill is at. Okay, now. Okay, those two blueprints I've linked in chat window. The first is a blueprint copy, and the second is a blueprint original. If you just open them up in separate windows if you can, or probably not. So what is the difference between a blueprint original and a blueprint copy? Well, the primary difference is that a blueprint original is... Ah, thank you, Callan. The difference between a blueprint original and a blueprint copy is that a blueprint original is primarily sold on the market by NPCs, and a blueprint copy is sold by players through contracts. The other main difference is that blueprint originals can be researched. Blueprint originals also have an infinite number of licensed production runs, meaning you can use it as many times as you like without it ever disappearing. A blueprint copy, on the other hand, cannot be researched, and it only has a limited number of licensed production runs. And once those licensed production runs are complete, the blueprint disappears. Now, when we were talking before, I said there were a maximum number of blueprint runs per copy. When you perform a copy job, you'll actually be given the you'll have a prompt that comes up and asks you how many licensed runs you want the blueprint to have. In the particular case of the Hammerhead 1 blueprint copy I've linked, I've actually gone ahead and made each of them so they have 50 runs per blueprint copy. But if I wanted to, I could actually go ahead and have a maximum number of 1,500 in a blueprint run. And I forgot something very, very important. I do apologize. If we could all go back, Rich, to the Hammerhead 1 blueprint that Callan linked originally, I do apologize. I should have seen this one. And return to the attribute tab. The manufacturing and researching sections, I've got to explain them. Okay, attributes tab, manufacturing. This gives you, again, the manufacturing time required to produce the item. And again, it gives it in two different ones, a U time and manufacturing time. Base manufacturing time is the base amount of time it takes, and manufacturing time is the amount of time it will take you depending on your industry skill. The final section on the attributes tab of the blueprint is the research section. This will be mainly covered in the research section of the class, but basically, research material time is how long it takes to research a level of material efficiency, research copy time, and U per single copy is how long it takes you to produce a single blueprint copy with a single license production run, and research productivity time is how long it takes you to research a single level of productivity efficiency. Okay, getting back to what I was saying before about blueprints, blueprint originals are sold by NPCs on the market. You can see them in the market fairly easy. It's on the market, blueprints, and they're available effectively all over Empire space. One of the things you do have to remember, though, is that blueprint originals are found, they're either found in trade hubs, or if you want to buy them direct from the NPCs, you have to basically go to who produces the blueprints. So if you want to buy missile launcher blueprints, they're generally sold by Mimitar and Calderi corporations. If you want to go ahead and buy lasers, they're sold by Amar corporations and that sort of thing. There are also people who go ahead and buy up unresearched blueprints and sell them back on the market at trade hubs like the Dixie and Jitter. Now, you note I said unresearched blueprints. Last thing about that is the thing. Blueprint originals can only be sold on the market if they haven't been researched. The moment you actually do a single level of material or productivity research on a blueprint, you can't sell it on the market any longer, and you have to sell it on contracts. So if you actually check out the contracts pages, you'll also be able to find a bunch of blueprints, both copies and originals, but mainly copies, that you can buy. Just have the standard watch-outs with regards to contracts as to where they are and that sort of thing. Okay, hopefully that little confusing chat has gone ahead and given you an overview as to what a blueprint is. Apart from a blueprint, the other thing you need to go ahead and actually run a manufacturing job are raw materials. And these, generally for T1 jobs, they're either minerals for most items. Sorry about that. Apart from minerals you need minerals for most production jobs. And for rig materials, you'll need the salvage items that you guys have been merrily salvaging away on your missions. Now, as rig materials, salvage can be got either through salvaging shipwrecks through missions or other player ships, Alternatively, you can go ahead and buy it on the market. And as for the minerals, you get that a couple of ways. You can either mine it, you can buy it on the market, or alternatively, you can refine loot for it. Now, there are some out there who will say that loot refining is really the only way you can get minerals these days. And unfortunately, they're actually right. It is an unfortunate fact of these that the only real materials that are mined in any large amounts these days are titanium and pyrite. And in that, those two materials, about 40% of the market is actually refined loot materials. But when you're getting out to higher end materials like megasite, noxcom, and isogen, there is actually a significant amount. I think it's in the region of like 70% of the market has actually been produced from refining loot. It's an unfortunate part. It's one that's actually driving miners out of business. But what it does mean is that the minerals are actually fairly cheap. If you had to rely on miners entirely, I think the prices would actually would be a lot higher than they currently are. Okay, that is the basics of a manufacturing job, what you need. Are there any questions at this point before we go into the actual mechanics of setting up a job? Maxim Grunhaus, how do you make a copy from an original BP? I will go ahead and actually quickly cover that in the research section of class. No other questions? Okay then, let's move on then. Everyone, get ready with your browsers. I'm going to start linking a few pictures for this one. It's actually the first time I've been linked. I've actually got audio visual aids for this. You lucky lot. Okay, how do you go about setting up a job? Okay, well, the first thing you need to do is you actually need to find a manufacturing slot you can set your job up in. Now, they aren't just found anywhere. Certain places around the EV universe have got manufacturing facilities. One of those places is in the Peitor Tech School of EV University, but it only has manufacturing slots. It doesn't actually have any research slots. But to go ahead and find all the places you need to go, you can actually use the Science and Industry tab on your menu bar. That's basically what will come up when you go ahead and use your Science and Industry tab. As you can see, the interface is actually it's got quite a bit of information there. When you're looking for an installation, you click on your Science and Industry tab and you check the Installation tab there. There you can go ahead and filter it out for pretty much anything you want. You can check out your public slots. You can check out where your corporation has got manufacturing slots available in their pods, or if you're out in the Double O Alliance, out in their outposts. You can check to see how many of those slots are open, how many are currently being used. You can't really check out who's using them or what they're doing, but you can also go ahead and see how long it will take before a slot is open. So that's how you go ahead and find out where your manufacturing slots are. Once you've gone ahead and decided where you're going to do your manufacturing, you move all your materials and your blueprints to that location, and you go ahead and start installing it. Okay, the first thing you do is you go ahead and right-click on your blueprint, and you select the manufacturing bit. And you'll come up with an interface, like the one in the picture. Just ignore that third one for a moment. Look at the second one. Now, the interface allows you to go ahead and do a few things. First off, it allows you to pick an installation, and that's the third one. We'll just get on to the third picture I've linked, so we'll get back onto a moment there. You can also select where the item comes from, where the materials come from, where it will go to, and you can also select how many runs or how many items you want to produce in one go. Now, picking the installation is the important part. By going ahead and hitting that item, by choosing the pick installation, it will go ahead and bring up a prompt which will tell you what slots are available in the location you're currently in. From there, you can go ahead and select a slot. Use probably one that's open, although in some cases you may have to wait a while before the item can actually produce. And once you've gone ahead and selected your installation, how many runs you want to run, you click OK, and you'll come up with the following prompt. Now, this prompt is the overview before you go ahead and actually start the job. It will tell you how many materials are required to produce the item, what skills are required to produce the item, and whether or not you're actually running low on any sort of materials or skills. As you can see in this particular one, this is something I ran through yesterday, just quickly. As you can see, to produce a single run of Hammerhead 1, I'm actually missing 2 units of Zidrine, and about 3,000 units of Tritanium. So it will tell you whether or not you want to go ahead and whether or not you've got enough to go there. It will also tell you how long the production will take. In this particular case, it will take 6 minutes 24 seconds. It will also tell you the cost. Now, this is actually a hiring cost of the facility itself. It's something I've paid NPCs to go ahead and actually run the job. It's fairly easy. It's fairly low cost for NPCs. It's slightly higher in your pauses and that sort of thing, but it's in this cost that you have to pay. Now, the other thing you have to look at is the multiplier on the other side of the bottom of the prompt. And these multipliers are important because it actually goes ahead and modifies how much time and how many materials you take. Every installation you get in the universe has a multiplier. Generally, with regard to public slots on MPC stations, it's generally 1.0 for both time and materials. When you're talking about pauses, it's reduced slightly. I think you can go, it's about 0.75 for material and 1 for time multipliers for a standard manufacturing array. But with a quick assembly array, it's a 0.75 multiplier to time, but in return, you actually have to pay about 25% more in materials. So just watch out for that when you're doing a production job. Anyway, once you've gone ahead and got all your materials and you've got all your skills right, you've got enough if to go ahead and actually pay to hire out the manufacturing slot, you click accept quote and the job will start manufacturing itself. Now, you don't have to monitor it at all. Once the job is installed, it will run itself right until it's completed. It will run whilst you're doing something else, so you can go offline, you can go off missioning again, you can go ahead and even go offline and the job will continue running in real time, just like your training. So whilst the job is being run, you can actually also check to see how long it will take before it is completed, and for this you go back to the Science and Industry tab. In the Science and Industry tab, you can check out the Jobs tab, and once you set the filters, you can click Get Jobs, and it will list, according to the filter, all the jobs that are currently running. As you can see in this particular case, I'm currently waiting for my Hammerhead 1 blueprint to start working. You can see where it's being run, what being produced, and how long it will take before the run is completed. You also notice that down the bottom right-hand corner there is a cancelled job item. There's a cancelled job button. You can click that. It will immediately cancel the job. You'll get back your blueprint, but you will lose your materials. So, and also, the manufacturing slot that you have just cancelled the job in will actually become unavailable for whatever time was left of the manufacturing job itself. Anyway, once the time to completion has run down to 0, the state of the job will turn to a green ready, and then you can click the job and deliver the items. And once the job's delivered, it will go ahead and deliver the blueprint back, if it still had any runs left, and it will deliver the items straight into your hangar. And that's it. You've done a manufacture. You've gone ahead and built the item you're looking for. And that is the basics of a manufacturing job. That's basically as far as you need to go if you want to just do minor things like produce your own ammunition. Are there any questions up to this point? Have I managed to send you all to sleep again? Yep, go ahead, Callan. Okay, Callan Van Blix is asking, with the pause, he said 0.75 time and materials. Does that mean it uses less materials and less time? Just hang on a moment. Okay then. What I've just linked is the Rapid Equipment Assembly Array. It's one of the POS modules you can go ahead and actually launch. And this is what I meant by a fast manufacturing job. This one has 5 manufacturing slots which can be accessed by your corp members. As you can see, it actually has a 0.65 base time multiplier, which means it'll take 65% of the standard time to produce. But in return, it has a 1.2 base material multiplier, which means you actually use 20% more materials. And that is opposed to an equipment assembly array, which has, as you can see, a 0.75 times time multiplier, but it uses up standard material costs. That's basically what I meant by the multipliers for a POS module. Does that cover what you want, Callan? As Pat Rin answered that one, Callan, there is no multiplier to a POS module that will allow you to use less materials. Okay, Kawashi, I joined late, so this may have been covered. Are there particular NPC boat locations where BPOs are sold? Yes, there are. They're sold by certain NPC corporations. You can have a look to see where. Just if you look at the various blueprints to see what you're looking for, just look for a seller that's got a 365-day order left. Those are the NPC orders. Chancellor November, are the install and hourly costs of a job affected by a corp standing at all? To be honest, I'm not too certain about this. I believe that they are. Is there anyone else, any veterans here who can answer that one a bit better for me? Anyway, to answer your question, Chancellor, I'm not too certain. Some of the scuttlebutt says that yes, it is a bit. I can't really answer that one effectively for you, unfortunately. Any other questions before we head on to research? Mela Sibistas, do we need some skill to access at the pause? No, you don't require skills to access the pause. As long as you have the correct roles, you can fly out to the pause itself, deposit your materials into the manufacturing arrays, and use it that way. I do believe there is a way you can remote access it. For manufacturing, I don't believe so. I think you actually have to fly out to the pos itself. No, scientific networking, one pat, is a different skill entirely. That's for remote research jobs, not remote manufacturing jobs. But as far as I'm aware, no. For manufacturing jobs, you actually have to fly your stuff out to the pos and manufacture it there yourself. There's the equivalent of manufacturing. Yeah, that's the supply chain management skill. You can go ahead and drop your stuff off at the pos and return to your station and activate it remotely. All right, then. Let's continue. We're down on schedule at this point. So let's get on to research. Okay, now it's one thing to go ahead and simply produce items as you go, but if you try to do it competitively against other manufacturers in the game, you're going to find quickly that you can't just go with the standard material costs that you need. One of the things about all manufacturing jobs is that they have an inherent amount of waste. That is, materials that you use that aren't really put into the item. You'll notice that if you go ahead and produce an item and then refine it, then reprocess it back, you won't get back all the materials you used. Some of the materials are wasted. And it's this waste that drives up production costs and that sort, that drives up your production costs, which means you get less profit as you, if you go ahead and sell your items in the market. So how do you reduce this waste? Well, you do that through research. And now there are several different types of research. There's invention, which is used to create T2 blueprint copies. And there's copying, which we'll go through quickly, which allows you to create blueprint copies. And then there's efficiency research, which allows you to reduce the waste. Now, in each case, there are several skills that you require. The main one of these is the science skill. This basically allows you to reduce your research copy time, by a particular amount for each skill level you have. Again, it's 5%, so you increase that to level 5. It actually takes 25% less time to produce a single blueprint copy. The second skill you should be looking at is the lab operation and math laboratory operation skill. Again, as with manufacturing, you're limited in research to how many jobs you can run simultaneously. And laboratory operation and mass laboratory operation will go ahead and allow you to run multiple jobs simultaneously. Again, each level you train will go ahead and increase it by one. The final skill you should seriously be looking at is the advanced lab operation. Thank you for that. The final skill you should be looking at is scientific networking. Like supply chain management, scientific networking allows remote access of research jobs, and this is the key skill you need when you're going ahead and doing POS research. This allows you to go ahead and drop something in your corp hangar at an NPC station and then research it through the POS. Apart from those, there is actually one final skill that can help you when you're doing research, and ironically enough, it's not actually a skill you originally think it would be. It's actually metallurgy. This actually allows you to do a material efficiency research slightly faster. I haven't quite worked out why that is. It just does, for some reason. I have absolutely no idea why that is. It's just one of those little things that have popped up in there. Okay, now, as mentioned, there are four different types of research, and they're all carried out in fairly much the same way. The first thing you need is a slot to do it in. Which are, again, those slots are found through the Science and Industry tab. But if you actually check out your Science and Industry tab and look for installations under the Material Efficiency Research tab in the region, if you just quickly do that now, and then just check any of the ones there, you'll note a slight problem being the next free time in pretty much any of the public installations is fairly long. One of the problems you'll find quickly with material and productivity research is that just about every one of the research slots, public research slots in Empire, is taken for multiple days at a time. Now, whilst you can go ahead and queue them up in the queue, it does require you to actually wait usually 2 to 3 weeks before your job actually runs, and even then, it's just a real annoying to have to wait that long just to get a research job done. In reality, you're probably better off seeing if your corp has a pos and convincing them to set up a laboratory for you to go and do your research in. Okay then, so how do we install a job? Well, setting up a research job is not unlike setting up a manufacturing job. First thing you do is you select your blueprint original, and note I say blueprint original. Blueprint copies cannot be researched, only the original blueprints. So you right-click your blueprint original, and you select either the material or productivity research item, and you'll get the same little pop-up, pretty much the same pop-up you got with your manufacturing job. Again, it will ask you to pick an installation, which, as you can see, I've gone ahead and shown you what that in particular interface looks like. You can select, and you also then select how many levels you wish to research. Now, if you remember back when I was talking about blueprints, I said there was a research time for each of the job, for each of the jobs, for each blueprint. Each level of research takes that amount of time. So if you remember back to the hammerhead blueprint, I think the research time was about 2 hours, something like that. If for each level of material research you wish to do, it will take a hammerhead one blueprint about 2 hours to be researched. So, I mean, 2 hours doesn't sound like much, but when you're talking about ships, you can talk about several days per research level. And I know that if you want to research a freighter, you're talking 2 weeks per level of research, material and productivity. Anyhow, once you've gone ahead and selected where you wish to do the research and how many levels of research you want to do, you'll end up with, again, a quote prompt, which will tell you how long it will take you to do, how much it will cost you. Research slots tend to cost a bit more than manufacturing slots. Again, it will tell you the multipliers. As you can see in this particular case, no real skills required, but I don't have any problems with skills. So you just go accept quote, and the research job will then run. And it's monitored and finished up exactly the same way as a manufacturing job through the Science and Industry tab. And that is how you do material research. Copying is not different to that. You again need a blueprint original. You right-click it, select copy, copying. Again, you select an installation. You go ahead but the only difference is you then have to go ahead and select, first off, how many blueprint copies you wish to produce and how many license runs each of those blueprint copies will have. And the amount of time it takes to produce that number of blueprint copies actually depends on how many license runs there are total within that job. So I've actually got 20 Hammerhead 1 blueprints here, each with 50 runs, and that's about how long did it take? I think it took about half a day to produce all of them, because I was producing a total of 1,000 runs, something like that. Anyway, that's research up to that point. That's research. Now, are there any questions about research at this point before we head into invention? Okay, go ahead then. Macmillan Grunhaus, it seems that other than the research time, the availability of slots is the worst part. Yes, that is correct. It basically is. It's one of the reasons why a lot of corps have pauses. And that's one of the reasons the uni actually has a pause available for students, so you can actually do your own research there. You have to chat to the research division, I think, but it's generally advisable to use a pause instead. Unless you've got an outpost in 00, you can control the slots. Leonard Chong, does that mean it takes twice as long to make a 1,000 run copy as it does to make a 500 run copy? Yes, Leonard, that is exactly correct. Chancellor November, is there an easy way to figure out whether or not if it's worth your time researching a BPO? Funny you should ask that, actually. I just linked the website in there my friend actually gave me. It actually has on it a BPO calculator, and if you enter in all your statistics and that sort of thing, it will tell you what materials and how much time it will be reduced to if you go to a certain manufacturing level. It'll also pretty much tell you how many levels of research you require to get your blueprint down to zero waste. Now, for things like drones, it's not really that high. You can get down to, I think it's about level 50 in some respects, level 50 or level 200 in some respects. But when you're talking about shifts and you have to get to level 647 of material efficiency, that actually takes quite a bit of time, so it's not really worth it. So you have to sort of determine at what point you're going to stop. The thing with with efficiency is that you start with, I do apologize, I forgot to cover this, I have to upgrade my notes in that respect. Every blueprint has a set waste amount. Generally, it's around 10%. And as you go ahead and research it, it reduces by 1 divided by 1 plus the efficiency level. So if you were to go ahead and research to efficiency level 1, you'd actually halve the amount of waste. And it continues on down that scale. So it's actually a principle of diminishing returns in that respect. Quite a few people say that you can probably go ahead and eventually get down to the point where there is zero waste. But for things like Titans and battleships, that's a huge amount of research you have to do. I think it'd be several years' worth. So you have to basically say at what point you're going to stop. Just remember, so you go ahead and research level 24 efficiency, you're actually only got 4% of the original wastage. So it's only 0.04% of the materials are wasted. So it's really up to you at what point you want to stop. Any other questions at this point? Okay. That's basic T1 stuff. Now head that cord. Okay, that's basic T1, manufacturing and research. I'm just going to go quickly through some T2 stuff. I'm actually planning a class for Manufacturing Research 201, which will go through this a bit more. But T2, manufacturing and research. Originally, when the devs brought out T2 items, the only way to get them, the only way to get the blueprints was through what was called the T2 lottery. Basically, previously, when you were doing R&D agents, instead of giving out data research points for data cores, they gave you tickets into a lottery. And at, when the lottery was run, the prize was T2 blueprint originals. And then, back in 2000, I think it was about 2004, I think, or maybe 2007. A developer was actually caught red-handed giving the Band of Brothers Alliance a series of T2 blueprints which he himself had generated using the in-game generation tools. Now, it was, for those of you who may have heard of it, it was called the T20 incident, and it was a massive uproar. There was accusations flying everywhere. CCP had to go ahead and institute their internal investigations department. The guy who actually exposed the developer was banned from the game for breaking the license agreement, and T20 himself, I think, was relegated to a desk job. But the thing, well, and apart from that, and several things that went ahead and stopped that resulted from it was that Band of Brothers became absolutely despised. The developers have never been trusted ever since. And the developers also went ahead and got rid of the T2 lottery. They went ahead, they decided in the end they were going to have to replace it, and they developed what became known as the invention system. So the invention system is now the only way you can get T2 blueprints. There are still T2 blueprint originals around, and very occasionally you'll be able to see them on contracts, but when they go for billions of ISK. And I literally do mean billions. I saw a Invulnerability 2, Field 2 blueprint original. The start of the auction price was 2.5 billion ISK. Anyway, these days the only way, therefore, you can get T2 blueprints is through the invention system. Now, invention is a bit of a random thing. In fact, it's probably one of the few things in EVE that is completely random. You can go, when you're doing research, invention research, you have a base chance of success, which you then modify through various things, and then when you actually run the job, the system will go ahead and randomize the number, and there is a chance you will succeed and a chance you will not. So how do you go ahead and do it? Well, if everyone could please flip to the Hammerhead 1 blueprint I've just linked, Bill of Materials and Invention. This is, as you can see, it's similar to the Bill of Materials manufacturing thing, but these are the materials and skills you need at the very minimum to actually do a invention job. So, as you can see, the skills you there are three skills that you require. In this particular case, you need Galente encryption methods, mechanical engineering, and electronic engineering. And it's fairly similar, and it's a fairly similar pattern for most invention jobs. You require an encryption methods skill, depending on what sort of item it is that you're trying to invent. For ships, it's the racial invention skill. For drones, it's Galente encryption methods. For speed modules, it'll be Minimitar encryption methods. For missiles, it's Caldera encryption methods. And you also need two science skills. In this particular case, it's electronic engineering, mechanical engineering. There's also things like starship engineering, hydromagnetics, quantum engineering, electronic engineering, that sort of thing. It all depends really on what sort of item you're trying to invent. Finally, down the bottom, and then there's a number of materials. At the very least, what you need, first off, you need a blueprint copy. When you do an invention job, you're not actually trying to produce a blueprint copy, you're trying to modify a T1 blueprint copy into a T2 blueprint copy. So you need a blueprint copy. You can't go ahead and invent a T2 original, or T1 original blueprint. Second thing you need is a bunch of data cores. The data cores relate to the science skills that you need to do the invention job. Now, data cores can be either bought on the market or, like me, you can set up an R&D agent, NPC agent, and as you produce research points, you can then buy the data cores from them. But data cores aren't really that expensive. They're only a couple of 100,000 ISK each, and you don't really need that many for your job. And the final item that you require is a data interface. For this Hammerhead 1 blueprint, you require the Incognito data interface, which is the Galente data interface. There's actually 12 interfaces in total, 3 per empire, and for each of them there's a ship interface, a module/drone interface, and a rig interface. I'm not too certain where you get these from, actually. I think the blueprints for them are dropped in certain sites, but they're available on the market. They cost a couple of million each, but unlike the data cores, they're not actually, the interfaces aren't used up during the invention process. We'll go through that in a moment. Anyway, those two links I just put up, they're pictures showing you where the data cores and interfaces are available on the market. Alright, Now, that's the basics you require for going ahead and setting up an invention job. But as I said, there's no guarantee it will actually go ahead and work. Any sort of job has a base chance of success. For ammunition, small ships and that sort of thing, the base chance of success is 40%. So it'll work 4 out of 10 times. When you're talking about things like inventing battleships and Hulk BPCs, the chance of success drops to 20%. But there are actually ways of going ahead and increasing and improving your chance of working. Now, unfortunately, the system is very complex. I've gone ahead and linked a link to the Evlipedia there. It actually goes through it a bit better than I can. But basically, you can go ahead and use a number of ways. You can increase your skills through encryption methods or the science skills. You can go ahead and use decoders, which are items you get from exploration sites, which can go ahead and increase your chance of success. You can also go ahead and use a base meta item to go ahead and increase your chance of success. But the simple fact is, once you go ahead and set the job up and let it go, it's really in the hands of the random number generator. Okay, setting up a job, an invention job. It's, again, not unlike doing a copy, a manufacturing job. You take your blueprint original and you select invention, after which you'll get a series of prompts, which will go ahead and ask you to say, what installation do you want to use? What blueprint you wish to invent? The base item is the meta item I was talking about, which increases your chance of success. Then there's the descriptor you can use. An output type. In some cases, you can actually select where you want to go. I mean, if you invent a Punisher BPO, you have a chance of either a Vengeance or a Retribution, I think it is, the two assault chips you can get out of it. So you can select which one you want to go for. Once you've got everything in place, you'll come up with this one. It will tell you whether or not you've got all the data cores and interfaces and everything there. As you can see, in this particular case, I don't have everything there, so I couldn't run the job. But once you get it done, you go ahead and hit the accept quote button, it will go ahead and run the job, and if you're lucky, you'll get your T2 blueprint copy back. And that is a T2 blueprint copy. If you just quickly switch to the manufacturing tab, I'm actually running behind schedule now. We'll go quickly through the T2 manufacturing process. As I mentioned, most of the time we'll actually be producing stuff as part of blueprint copies. But there are blueprint originals out there which, if you're lucky to get your hands on, you really should be using instead. Because blueprint copies with T2 have a limited number of production runs. Usually it's one for a ship, can be up to 10 for a module or a drone, really depends on the type of blueprint you're manufacturing. Alright, with this T2 blueprint and manufacturing, as you can see, you require the industry level 5. That's a given. You also require a few science skills, depending on what you're doing. And finally, when you get down to the materials, you see that the materials there are completely different to what you did with a T1 production job. Besides, you actually need the Hammerhead 1 itself. And that's one of the things about T2 manufacturing. You're not creating a brand new item. You're upgrading a T1 item to a T2 item. Then there is a couple of trade items. The guidance system and the robotics, they're trade items you get from NPCs. The RAM, the robotic assist module, is something that you can, again, produce. It's called a tool. You can buy the blueprints from NPCs, you manufacture them, and they're used up as you go along for every manufacturing job. The final two items, the particle accelerator unit is what's referred to as T2 components. To build one of these, you require moon materials, which are available in low second 00. Again, the blueprints of them are available from NPCs, and the materials are available either through moon mining or from the market. We won't go into manufacturing them because that's actually part of T2. And the final item you require, in fact, every item, T2 item, requires morphite. Morphite basically a catalyst, which goes ahead and allows the T2 to work, and morphite is only accessible through the Mexicrit ore, which is found in the deepest parts of 00. Now that's just basic T2 items. You can also produce T2 rigs. They require slightly better salvage than standard T1 rigs, and that T2 salvage is only available through either elite rats, officer rats, or T2 salvage from T2 ships. Probably one of the reasons why Hulkageddon is so popular, you can salvage the wreck afterwards and get stuff that sells for millions on the market. Anyway, that's my quick overview of T2 items, T2 production, research and production. I know it was very rushed, but is there anyone out there that can go? Are there any questions at this point? Greenhouse asks, does the invention consume the T1 blueprint original, or is it using a T1 blueprint copy? No, you can only invent a T1 blueprint copy, and it does consume it even if the production job fails. Even if the production job fails, you lose your copy, you lose your data cores, but you get your interface back. If you succeed, you get your T2 blueprint and your interface back, but you lose your data cores also. Any other questions? We are running slightly behind schedule here at the moment. So, Psycho, does the number of runs on the T1 BPC affect the T2 BPC? That hasn't actually been answered definitively yet. Some say that you have to go ahead and produce a maximum run BPC, T1 BPC, in order to get the maximum number of runs available on the T2 BPC. But that, again, is affected. But that is in turn affected by your decryptors. I strongly recommend reading that item on the Evilopedia if you want to go ahead and find out about that. I will be covering it in my 201 class once I finally get it written up. Okay, we'll just quickly go through one final thing before we go. Basically, it's, okay, you've got your item, now what do you do with it? Well, there are several reasons why you'd be manufacturing. First is personal use. I think most of you will probably go back and say, okay, this is cool, I can go ahead and now produce my own ammunition. And in that particular respect, that's fine. You can go back, produce your own missiles, produce your own bullets, and that's all you really need to do manufacturing for. If you really want to get into it, you can become a manufacturer for your corporation or your alliance. I think the logistics department with the uni is currently looking for guys who are willing to do manufacturing for the university. And the third reason you can go ahead and do it is if you want to sell your manufactured items on the market. But the question is, where's the best place to sell it? Well, you just go ahead and fill up your hauler and take it off to Jitter. And that's perfectly acceptable. You can go ahead and fill in buy orders at trade hubs and the like. Just don't, in some respects, I wouldn't expect to go ahead and actually make much of a profit from it, because generally the buy orders there are typically less than the material cost of the items. The second way you can go ahead and sell things is to haul it off to a mission hub, into a trade hub, and sell it, as in through a sell order. This requires you to then go ahead and actually compete against other manufacturers, some of whom have got a couple of years of research under their belt with the items they're selling. So, yeah, the third way you can do it is through contracts. Not exactly why, because there is a heck of a lot of stuff on the contract. So I guess the point is, you really should be more going ahead and trying to look at sell stuff in a particular location. Trade hubs are all well and good, but they're trade hubs. You've got a heck of a lot of stuff there. You could also try selling stuff in mission hubs, as in places where there are a heck of a lot of agents you can go ahead and running missions in. Go ahead and take modules, ships, and ammunition down there, and the mission runners will love you for it. They'll go ahead and buy it up great guns, because they go through ammunition and ships like it's going out of style. The final place you could even go ahead and try to think about it is that there are a couple of systems in the game which transit directly from HiSec to NullSec. I know there's at least one system in Amar that does it. That's where the guys in Providence used to get all their stuff to build and buy and shoot and that sort of thing. If you go ahead and set up a small market in there, you can guarantee you'll be guaranteed to get a bit of money out of that. But in reality, just have a look around to see where you're going. Have a look around and see the place. And that is basically that. That is the end of my class. Do hope it was helpful for you. If there are any final questions here, could you please type them in the chat box? I've also got one last thing to do. It's one thing to go ahead and actually have all this theory. I mean, it was a heck of a lot of theory, I'll admit. But instead, the logistics department of the uni has gone ahead and agreed to help me out, has agreed to give me a hand in that respect. I actually have here a number of Hammerhead 1 BPCs available for anyone who actually wants to try their hand at manufacturing. There are a number of manufacturing slots available at Tator Tech School, which is where I am at the moment. So if you want, I can give you one of these blueprints. You can go away, buy the materials, and actually give it a shot. See what you think of it. Who knows? You might become the next major manufacturer in Eve. It'll only be the first 20, unfortunately. I've only got 20 of the damn things. I didn't realize I'd have such a big class.